Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPL D Unit and today you're here for your Game Week 28 preview, early thoughts, updated from everything that we've learned from the FA Cup. And look, the FA Cup has been an absolute beautiful cocktail of carnage that any seasoned pro that plays the game would absolutely hate, but I absolutely love. I'm inside the top 5,000 teams, and I'm telling you, my strategy hasn't been overly affected too much by what's happened this weekend. And thankfully, I've only got about two players that were already on the chopping block that got potentially injured, rubbed out in this sea of absolute carnage that we are going to unpack, delve into, and hopefully I'm here to provide you with a bit of insight moving forward later into the game week. Without further ado, I have been on holiday. I've got a little bit more tan going on, a little bit hot, but please like the video, and if you haven't already, please think about subscribing. I'm already almost so close to 700. Please be the 700th person. It will mean a lot to the D Unit. Without further ado, let's jump into it. So, the Game Week 28 preview, the FA Cup carnage. The results, the draw, injuries and suspensions, they create an absolute cocktail of chaos that no one that is big pushing out content enjoys at all. But I love it. I absolutely love it. Sitting inside the top 5,000 teams, as I said, I am going to be up and about. I've got a plan. I've already concocted a bunch of ideas that potentially will help me sustain my top 5,000 finish to the end of the season, potentially get even higher. And I am eyeing off getting higher at this point in the season. Newcastle United are falling apart. They are falling apart at the seams. They're getting players sent off. They're getting players injured. All the three most popular assets for Newcastle are now under flags. And one is definitely out for at least the next three games. So, look, unless obviously Newcastle United have said they are going to appeal the decision. But the other thing that's key to note here, anyone that played that was thinking of playing the assistant manager on Eddie Howe, which you shouldn't have done anyway because you wouldn't have had any table bonus, but it's highly likely, unless Nottingham Forest lose to Ipswich Town, which I just can't see happening myself. I think Nottingham Forest are going to win that. Newcastle United will not double in game week 33. They'll double in game week 32, which absolutely throws a lot of plans out the window. To the point now where I'm actively thinking of selling a couple of their players because of this reason, and we'll delve into it a little bit later on in this video, but it's definitely something to keep in mind and keep a note. Now, my favourite point I wanted to bring up this week was Bournemouth get revenge on Wolves as Cunha does a Tom. Now, if anyone doesn't know who a Tom is, he's in the game week 8 deadline stream. And he's in there and you can just watch him. And that is Tom on a night out. Absolute mouse. But sometimes Tom gets a little bit big of himself and thinks that he's a bit all that. And he'll try a bit of a fisticuff against people that probably shouldn't fisticuff against. And it's safe to say that Cunha didn't learn his lesson from earlier in the season and decided he wanted round two, this time with some Bournemouth players. Got himself straight red card this time, so there's no mucking around. He definitely will be suspended for three games. And if the FA are half decent, they're going to come down and suspend him even longer. So if you're one of those people, unfortunately, that made a move early to try and dodge that price rise, he's just burnt you hard. He's going to have to be transferred out. He's going to be missing games. You just can't carry him through with all the other players you're going to be carrying. It makes no sense. And these are the games you really wanted him for anyway, and now he's going to be missing for them. Absolutely lost his head. I don't know what else to say. He just lost his head, lost the plot. Bruno Fernandes, about a shout out to that man. That's three games in a row now. He would have got 10 points plus probably in this game. He is carrying Manchester United. He is Manchester United. Forget the other 10 players that take the field with him. They are not worthy to wear the shirt. Bruno Fernandes is in a league of his own. Probably still a really good fantasy asset moving forward because, honestly, Man United are nothing without that man. If he did not play for Manchester United, I can guarantee Manchester United would be in the bottom three teams in the league. And I'm one of their fans, but we're god-awful. Thank God for Bruno. That's all I'm going to say on that. Pep Roulette was back, and it was in full effect in the FA Cup. Haaland was dropped. Phil Foden was playing in the false nine. Marmoush was out of the lineup. The thing is, you just don't know with Pep what you're going to get from week to week. It's always been one of my concerns buying into City, and he was at it again. Yes, it was Plymouth Argyle, so maybe we should expect that. But why is Phil Foden starting and Haaland and Marmoush aren't? That's what I want to know. I just don't get the man. He's so hard to read. It does make it problematic for when you are looking to buy City players in game week 29. It's just going to be interesting to see which way it goes from there. Liverpool, they get a much-needed rest ahead of Southampton at home. But is Slot still going to rotate? Honestly, if you're making transfers this week, just don't do them. Don't do them. Just don't prevent yourself from accessing the site or accessing the app on your phone. You don't want to make any moves until after the European games. It's the knockouts of the Champions League this week. And I dare say that if Liverpool get a decent leg lead against PSG, they're probably going to play a full-strength team against Southampton. If it's a bit of a tight game or whatever, and there's a few concerns, you might see some mass rotation against Southampton, because in reality, Southampton are garbage. They're not even a Premier League-worthy team. They're Championship fodder, and I think Liverpool's under-18s could probably account for them and not even break a sweat. So that's all I'll say on that. It does make the captaincy debate, which I'll look at later in the game week, a little bit tough, because is Salah going to play enough minutes? Is Cole Palmer going to redeem himself? I don't know, but I'm going to unpack that later in the game week. So the FA Cup draw for the quarterfinals. Now, some interesting ties here. And I was hoping that you'd be able to predict who would potentially make it to the semi-finals from the quarterfinal draw. But my God, the only one I would say is a guaranteed tie is Aston Villa against Preston North End. I can't see Aston Villa losing that. And we'll talk about what that means. But it basically means Aston Villa versus Man City, which is scheduled for game week 34, will blank. And that means that Man City and Aston Villa potentially might have a double game week 33. We don't know when it's going to be. We probably won't know when it's going to be until very close to game week 30, maybe even after game week 30 deadline, which is very unhelpful because the game week 30 deadline is after the international break. So we play game week 29, then there's 2 weeks off. They play the FA Cup games, and then it's game week 30 deadline midweek on like a Tuesday night. It's highly unhelpful. And the draw itself is not helpful at all. So Fulham versus Crystal Palace, I've seen this result before, and it went to Crystal Palace the last time. This is such an even fixture. If you look at the history of this fixture, they were 50-50 in terms of draws, wins for both sides at Craven Cottage. There is nothing to split these two teams. They're both having amazing seasons. That is so hard to call. Man City's form has just not been flash, so you can't say that they're a given against Bournemouth, especially since I have to travel to Bournemouth away, and Bournemouth have been super good at home this season. I'm not sure how much I like that fixture either, and trying to pick a winner from that. And then Brighton against Nottingham Forest, potentially. I'd say it's probably going to be Nottingham Forest. Just feels super hard to predict. I don't know which way that's going to go either. Forest really good defensively, but they've been shaky. But the last time they played Brighton, they spanked them 7-0. So, I mean, Ipswich might throw an absolute corker in the works and beat Nottingham Forest overnight, and then we'll know for sure. But, like, some shocks from this round for sure. I actually thought Newcastle would beat Brighton. I thought Man United potentially might have beat Fulham. I did expect Wolves to lose to Bournemouth, and everyone else is already out. I mean, at the rate we're going, if Bournemouth beat Man City, the FA Cup is going to have a winner that we've not seen for a very long time, which is fantastic stuff. It does make the magic of the FA Cup feel a bit alive, so I'm quite excited about that. So what does it mean for the actual fixtures? So here it is. So we have three confirmed fixtures now for game week 34 after this weekend's results. Chelsea versus Everton will definitely be on. Liverpool versus Spurs will definitely be on. And Wolves versus Leicester will 100% be on. Now, the games are in doubt. Now, this is where it gets interesting. So as you can see there, Nottingham Forest play Ipswich. Now, whoever loses that game will play their fixture in 34. Now, I'm expecting it to be Ipswich, which means that Newcastle will not play two double game weeks in a row like Liverpool did. They'll only play one because that means their fixture against Ipswich will be a confirmed fixture in 34 and they won't have a second double game week, which is interesting. However, as you can see there, Crystal Palace versus Arsenal still in jeopardy. Bournemouth versus Man United still in jeopardy. Brighton versus West Ham still in jeopardy. Man City versus Aston Villa. I would say that is 100% guaranteed to blank from the fixtures and the results. Aston Villa will definitely beat Preston. If they don't, it's an absolute shock. Southampton versus Fulham still in doubt. And as we said, it's probably going to be Nottingham Forest versus Brentford still in doubt after tonight's results. But there will be a fourth fixture that's in there. And I'll update this graphic for Wednesday's video in relation to when I look at my updated chip strategy. But just to keep in mind, the blank teams are coming down. Like the blank fixtures are definitely coming down. It will come down again overnight. And we really don't know what's going to happen. But in reality, it's probably going to be a smallish blank game week because of the fact that, you know, Fulham versus Crystal Palace, they play each other. One of those fixtures will be in, one of those fixtures will be out. That's guaranteed. So we're going to have at least five guaranteed fixtures on the other hand. Man City, as I said, against Aston Villa, that's two teams highly likely to make the thing. And then Bournemouth, so it's going to be Bournemouth-Man City. If Bournemouth win, that means that Man United will also blank. It's too early to look at that. The fixtures have just been annoying, and I don't want to confuse anyone. But at the moment, that's the fixtures that are in doubt. Those are the fixtures that are confirmed, and that's pretty much all you need to know. So, this graphic is not a graphic that a lot of people are going to be happy with, especially the bottom graphic. A lot of people actually have these three forwards in their forward line. Like, it's not unrealistic that you have Mateta, Cunha, and Isak on your forward line. Now, what I would say, Isak missed the Liverpool game with a groin injury. I was actually surprised he started against Brighton, but the fact he limped off would suggest that he's re-aggravated the problem. And I would suggest that even though the West Ham Newcastle fixture is on Monday night next week, I just can't see any chance of them risking Isak. So if you're going to move Isak, it's probably this week. But most people are going to have other problems. Like, a lot of people have bought in Mateus Cunha this game week because he rose in price last game week, and he just rose in price over the weekend again. I had contemplated moving Wissa out to Cunha. Thank God Wissa scored the last two game weeks, and I never made that transfer because now a lot of people are probably going to be looking to transfer Cunha to Wissa. Similar price, save a bit of money, or Cunha to Wood. And I already have Wood and Wissa in my team, which means I've dodged a couple of bullets here, and I'm going to be saving a few transfers where others are probably going to have to be taking minus fours, potentially minus eights, depending on your squad and how it's looking. And in the run-up to game week, blank game week 29, some people are going to be in absolute carnage. Maybe a free hit 29 is going to look a bit better now because of the fact that I honestly don't know. It's thrown it all around. I still think it's better to hold your free hit till game week 34, try and address your issues, and I would just recommend taking points hits. I'm going to show you what my current plans are at the moment, and I'm definitely thinking about it as well. So I just want to cover some of the other injuries as well that were and suspensions. So Gordon got sent off. He's going to miss three games as it stands. Newcastle are likely to appeal because they probably want him fit for that Carabao Cup final. But as it stands, he'll miss game week 28, the Carabao Cup final, and then game week 30. It's a three-game ban generally for a straight red. So that's what he's looking at. Lewis Hall's seeing an ankle specialist. He's rated as a 75% chance. He's in my team. And in reality, it was between him and Trent being sold. But the fact that Lewis Hall now is seeing an ankle specialist means that he's probably the one that's on the chopping block instead of Trent in regards to what I do with my team moving forward. Dorgo obviously got sent off in the last Premier League game against Ipswich. That's relevant because he's going to miss game week 28, 29 and 30. Lots of people are looking at him as a potential option for Trent, for Hall, for anyone else that they had. He's no longer an option either. That wasn't from the FA Cup. I just whacked that in there for people's information. He's no longer an option. Matoma looks okay, but he also has 75% chance of playing. Hopefully he'll be all right, but it's another one to monitor, particularly if you have him in your team running up to the next week. Obviously, Brighton don't play until game week 28, so we're not going to know too much except from Hörsel's press conference, and his press conferences have been a little bit odd of late, and some injuries have just gone unreported, and then they're just missing from the team on game day. So I just wanted to flag that one, and then Lamptey obviously got himself sent off as well. Yeah. Yeah, in that game of Gordon. So he was for two yellows. He's only missing the one game week, so that's all you need to know there. But highly disappointing. Cunha's one is definitely devastating for a lot of owners. And Mateus Cunha and Mateta combined, they've been brought in by, I think, 350,000 plus managers combined. It's insane. I feel very sorry for people that make early moves, particularly this time of the season. It's better to hold your moves until later on. Mateta, he's unlucky. He had 25 stitches put into his head. How that keeper thought that was ever a decent challenge is beyond me. That was stuff from like the 1960s, 70s. That dude needs a good wake-up call. That's not how you play football. That you can't be endangering people like that. It's just not on. And hopefully Mateta will be fine. But Glasner came out and basically said he wouldn't feature in the Ipswich game. So I take him on face value. He's one of their managers. And when he delivers a table bonus game on game, you've got to take that manager at face value. So on to my early transfer plans for game week 28. As I said, it's now Alexander Arnold slash Hall, and the two possibilities I'm looking at currently are eight Nori and one Bissaka. Like, I've literally, I'm torn. I don't necessarily have to make a move this week, but now that Lewis Hall is seeing an ankle specialist, makes me think that maybe I just make the move this week, get one of eight Nori or one Bissaka in, and roll with those fixtures. Because in reality, Lewis Hall, if he's seeing an ankle specialist, they probably don't want to be risking him for West Ham prior to that cup final. A bit like Isak, I wouldn't expect to see him against West Ham. I think they're likely to just hold them and save them for that game. So for me, it's probably more likely going to be Lewis Hall now. And the fact that he's starting to look like he's going to continue dropping in price with that news of that injury makes him more of a me wanting to sell him to save some squad value as well. So onto my current squad and potential game week 29 squad. I've currently got three different ideas about what I want to do. So this is the first one. This would require a -4 cost over the next two game weeks in order to field this for game week 29. Now I could do three parts of this week and then worry about the last part the next week and take the -4 this week rather than next week, which I think might be preferable because I feel like a lot of people are going to be taking -4s this week. And I could bring in Haaland for Isak. I could bring in Bowen for Palmer, which doesn't feel amazing this week, but I think Bowen against Newcastle now is looking pretty good with the fact that Newcastle definitely going to have their mind on the week after. Yes, Palmer has the easy fixture against Leicester, but it does concern me. And obviously, Alexander-Arnold stays now against Southampton at home. Wan-Bissaka obviously is on there. In for Hall, and then I've obviously got Jose Sarr in for Becker because of the fact that Fabianski isn't blanking, but he's not playing, so I have to make a goalkeeper transfer. That's option number one. So in option number two, I can do this one for free. Now, it just means that I would play with no goalkeeper in game week 29, and I think that's perfectly okay. So the three moves I would make here, I would actually hold off this week. I'd play Palmer this week. I'd just play a 3-5-2 this week, and we'll have a look at my squad and how it would look up like this week, potentially with Isak missing again. But I actually quite like this one. Gibbs White obviously will have the Ipswich fixture in 29, which looks amazing. So I have Gibbs White, Wood, and Milenkovic, which sounds pretty damn good. I'd have Wan-Bissaka, obviously, I think it's the Everton fixture in game week 29 off the top of my head. Like, the team looks pretty good for game week 29, and I'd also have Haaland, easy captaincy decision then, and I get rid of Palmer to do it. Like, all these methods and routes to getting Haaland involve getting rid of Palmer. That's if I decide to go there. I'm not convinced I want to go off Haaland, but my team value, as you can see down the bottom, is super good that I can afford to take this kind of a risk because I've actually got the team value and squad value, and I feel like I'm not really losing too much. Like, I've still got really good players in my team. I don't know. Like, that's the second one I'm looking at. Obviously, this does require just playing with 10 players and hoping I don't get any injuries between now and then, but it would be free, and it feels pretty good. I can then also play a 3-4-3, which also does sound really good on paper when a lot of people are going to be playing 4-4-2. So for me, I just think that's something I really like the look of. And then option number three is actually only making two transfers between now and game week 29 and just keeping Isak for what lies ahead after game week 29. So I'm expecting, look, with the big break between the Carabao Cup final and the next round of Premier League fixtures in game week 30, after the international break, after the FA Cup, I'm expecting Isak to be fine for game week 30 onwards. And obviously he's got the double in game week 32, so I want him anyway. So maybe I just don't bother going with Haaland. Save the free transfer. So I'll have one free transfer extra for game week 30. So I have two free transfers then. And then I can bring in two Palace assets. So like, it's then an easy bring in a Daniel Munoz for Robinson because I have 0.8 million left in the bank. And then bring in maybe an Eze or a Mateta in up front. Like, all these things make a lot of sense. In this case, I've gone for 8 Nori instead. I could save another 0.3 million, get in Wan-Bissaka instead, and then I could easily have the money to then afford Mateta for Wissa, because Mateta's highly likely to drop in price now because of that injury. That's also something I'm thinking of. So these are the three different options I've been throwing around in my head. I've been talking for yonks about getting rid of Trent, but because of these other injuries and these other problems, it now means that Trent's probably likely to get a stay of execution in my team. I just think that's something I'm now strongly considering, even though I don't really like it. And I'm not sure if I want Haaland or not, but I feel like so many people are going there, and I'm at such a high rank. If he really pops and starts popping goals, I'm going to look off. But in reality, I'm hoping to go a little bit differential. I'm hoping that Phil Foden gets back in that team, because then Palmer becomes Foden and it's a different conversation entirely. And then I'm not interested in Haaland at all. So on to how the game week finished for me. Obviously, I did drop 1 point. Trent's bonus point actually got taken off him. So he went from 6 points, 7 points down to six. But 67 points in total was brilliant. Bowen, thankfully, didn't do too much damage to me. He only got the 6 points on the Monday Night Football, which seems like an absolute age ago. So my rank came in from 6,686 at the start of game week 27, and I finished at 4,687. Now, just a shout out to our new league leader, Shah Cash with me. He's on 1,985 points. He's on, I think he's ranked 356th in the world. So well done to him. Hopefully he can keep it going. And obviously Fenham was definitely the top scorer for the game week. I think it might have been revised down to 85 points, but I'm not 100% sure. So I don't want to sit there and do him a disservice. But look, lots of things to get excited about. And at the moment, this will be the exact team that rolls out this weekend. Milinkovic is probably going to be on the bench. Realistically, Hall would be on probably instead of Robinson. But... or Kirkes, I'm not sure which one yet, but Kirkes has been great form in the FA Cup. Robinson looked really good in the FA Cup as well. I think there'll be a couple of concedes. I just can't see Hall starting, so that means my Hall's there. That's why potentially I might make a transfer this week and move him out. It will give me a better selection in the defence. But the team, per se, the forward seven players still look really good, so I feel like I can afford to just carry Isak this week, because lots of people are going to be taking minus fours to bring in probably one of the two forwards that are going to be playing for my team up there. I don't think many people are going to jump on Haaland against Nottingham Forest. I just don't think that makes a lot of sense, particularly since they're going to Nottingham Forest. I think it's going to be a lot more difficult game than people are giving them credit for, so for me, that's just something to keep in mind. So that's the end of my Game Week 28 preview. Hopefully that shed a bit of light on the things that you need to have learned from the FA Cup and how it's going to affect your FPL fantasy teams moving forward. Look, I'm going to cover my new chip strategy on Wednesday. I've got a little bit more planning to do. As I said, like I've just showed you some of the ideas behind my head between how I'm going to set my team up from now through to Game Week 29 and attack that blank. And then on the other side, realistically now, I'm probably not going to wildcard in 30 because I want to know when these doubles are going to happen, when these blanks, well, I know when the blanks going to happen, when are these doubles actually going to get rostered in, because I've still got my triple captain, I've still got my bench boost, and I'm actually, the more I get into it, the more I'm happy that I've already played my assistant manager, because I feel like the opportunity to chase the table bonus is not going to be there on many good teams left, because at the rate Oliver Glasner is going, he's not going to have table bonus against too many teams moving forward. Crystal Palace are on absolute tear as well, so it's just one of them things. But yeah, let me know in the comments how you went this game week, what questions you've got ahead of game week 28, and how you feel about the FA Cup action and what your current plans are and how badly affected your team has been. And make sure before you leave, like the video and please subscribe if you haven't done so already. That's been FPL D Unit with my game week 28 preview.